98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Time now for the 4 o'clock reset, getting you squared up on all the top stories of the day in the world of college football. Tomorrow, Arizona State and Herm Edwards will go to Oregon State looking for a win to help secure their bowl safety, because right now they're just 5-4. A loss to Oregon State could maybe complicate the bowl picture.
Well, you lose to Oregon State, and then you're expecting to lose the next one to Oregon, and you got U of A. And you might come down. You lose this one to Oregon State, it literally may come down to having to beat U of A to get to a bowl game.
And who knows what happens in those.
And that could be their season, too, trying to spoil your chances to get in. Look, the season's gone south in a hurry, not the Pac-12 south, but south in a hurry with ASU really struggling these last 3 weeks.
The Arizona Coyotes fall to the Minnesota Wild last night, 3-2. That's now the second time in a week that the Coyotes have lost to Minnesota, which is one of the worst teams in the NHL.
Yeah, they're not very good. They're starting to play a little bit better now, and they were able to tie the game up. They got the goal from Kraus, but then Jordan Greenway, he's a big 6'6", 225-pound guy. He just got in the crease, and it was a shot from the point. It went off his calf and into the net. He's a big body, and the Coyotes weren't able to move him out, and that gave them the lead, and they were able to hold on and get that win over the Coyotes. Tough loss for the Coyotes, but I mean, so many teams just bunched up right there, in the standings. They're right there. They've got one of the top four records in the West, but you're only a couple of points away from having the eighth or ninth best record in the West. So Calgary Flames tomorrow at home. Matthew Tkachuk, big game. Calgary's fighting just the way the Coyotes are, so that will be a big one tomorrow for the Yotes.
Tomorrow in Atlanta, Colin Kaepernick, through the aid of the NFL, will host a workout. Adam Schefter of ESPN is reporting that there are 24 teams that have confirmed that will be in attendance. The Arizona Cardinals, as Steve Keim confirmed this morning on Doug and Wolf,
somebody will be there.
Will be one of those teams.
Yeah, and that's all the stories are coming out now. Should the Vikings be interested in signing Kaepernick? Is Kaepernick being used by the NFL? I mean, I'm sure Kaepernick's trying to wonder what's going on now, too. The NFL put this together. This guy's been out of the league for 3 years since his protests, but now 20-something teams are going to take a look at Colin Kaepernick. Is the deck stacked against him? Does he have a chance to impress somebody? I guess the first thing we have to decipher is, how does the workout go?
Last night at Talking Stick Resort Arena, Kelly Oubre with a nice bounce-back performance, 30 points pacing the Phoenix Suns as they beat the Atlanta Hawks 128-112, and really, that game wasn't as close as the final score indicates.
No, they took over in that third quarter, and Oubre was great with 10 points, had a great buzzer beater, a three-pointer at the end of the third quarter that went in. He had a beautiful left-handed dunk. He really shined in that third quarter, and they were able to put that game away. Atlanta had two guys that were kicked out of the game with technicals, and they were shorthanded as it is. And the Suns did what they needed to do. They beat a team that they're supposed to beat.
For the second time in 3 weeks, the Arizona Cardinals will play the San Francisco 49ers this Sunday in the Bay Area. The Cardinals' injury report today, Chase Edmonds and Jonathan Bullard have been ruled out for Sunday. Terrell Suggs, Justin Murphy, and Tremaine Brock are all questionable to go.
Well, San Francisco has a lot of injuries, and that'll be an advantage. And they played on Monday night, and they played a physical game, and it was at home, but it was a hard-fought game, went to overtime, and they're a lot more banged up than the Cardinals are right now. So that could work to the Cardinals' advantage, and I think that it's a matchup that used to, that, and we saw it 2 weeks ago. It's a good matchup. Styles make fights. The Cardinals pose problems for the 49ers.
But our top story of the day is what happened last night in Cleveland on Thursday Night Football. Myles Garrett losing his mind.
I regret it. It's going to come back to hurt our team. The guys who jumped in the little scrum, I appreciate my team having my back, but it just never got to that point. That's on me.
Says he regrets it, and he's going to.
Hey, I mean, of course you regret it. I mean, how do you not regret it? I mean, you're an idiot if you don't regret it. You took a helmet and you slammed it into another guy's head. I mean, it could have been a devastating injury. I mean, you could really, really hurt somebody, seriously, like really bad. So Myles Garrett's not going to play again this season. He's not going to play. NFL announced it that he has been suspended for the rest of the season, including the playoffs. It's an indefinite suspension, which kind of has me riled up a little bit. Marquise Pouncey, who he's the guy that jumped into Garrett and started kicking him and punching him, and he's been suspended 3 games. The Browns defensive tackle, I think it's Larry, how do you pronounce his last name?
Ungunjobi.
Yeah, he got 1 game for pushing Mason. I'm actually surprised that Rudolph didn't get suspended. I'm really surprised. You know, he was trying to rip the helmet off of Myles Garrett, and it looked like he kicked him in the private parts. So I am surprised that he didn't get suspended. I think Pouncey got too many games. I don't think he should have got 3 games for doing what any normal red-blooded person would do. Your quarterback just got hit in the head with a helmet. That's instincts take over. You don't think about anything.
Instincts take over to defend your partner there, your teammate, yes. But not by stomping on him with a cleat. You can still get involved and defend your teammate and defend your honor as a member of this team without going into the extent that Marquise Pouncey went.
I think most guys would go to that extent.
I don't think
you're
so.
You're watching. I do.
That you're kicking and stepping on a guy?
Whatever it does. He swung his helmet, some people saying like a weapon, and he hit your quarterback in the head.
Yeah.
Unprotected head.
So, to your point, swing with fists or something. Don't have a guy on the ground who then becomes defenseless, and you're kicking him and stomping him
or
with spikes.
Go separate them. Maybe, yeah.
I can understand throwing
what
punches.
What?
Separate who?
If you're running out there to protect your teammate or to defend your teammate, at least get Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett separate from each other. Get them away from each other.
Are you saying that after Myles Garrett got hit in the head after Myles Garrett hit Rudolph in the head with the helmet, that they should have just separated everybody?
No, I'm saying if you're
thank
a
God. Thank
listen
God.
To
oh
what I'm
God.
Saying, Gambo.
You so scared me
I'm
for a second.
I'm saying if you are a third party, you're a teammate running out there. You need to get in between those two and end it. I'm not saying start stomping on faces.
If I'm Marquise Pouncey, I'm body slam. I mean, I'm picking him up and I'm body sampling him and
I'm
taking him away.
I'm beating the hell out of him. But whatever it takes, you beat the hell out of
him. But then that hurts the team because you're getting suspended.
I think there's a line drawn.
Sometimes that's what you have to do.
Okay, so you think it's better to be out for 3 games?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
absolutely.
A
oh,
I couldn't.
Take.
Yeah, that's
100%.
So now the Pittsburgh
I go
Steelers,
in there and I don't do anything. I do nothing.
Oh,
and everybody looks at me like, why didn't you do anything, dude?
Those aren't the only two options.
Yeah, there's an in-between.
You don't have to, just because you don't kick a guy doesn't mean that you don't do anything. You could still get in there and your suspension would probably have been lesser. I agree with you on Mason Rudolph. I actually think
he should have been suspended.
He was the instigator in the whole situation. When you watch it, Myles Garrett with a clean tackle, did he linger a little bit longer on Rudolph? Maybe. But Rudolph was the one trying to rip his helmet off, and as you mentioned, kicked him.
Listen, I would have suspended Mason Rudolph. I would have suspended Pouncey. But I'm not going to suspend Pouncey for 3 games.
I agree with that.
For coming to the defense of his teammate who was pummeled with a helmet right over his head. I mean, listen, I would think, in all honesty, okay, that if you get hit in the helmet 10 times the way Myles Garrett hit him in a helmet, 7 of those times you're going to get knocked unconscious. You're going to get knocked unconscious. How he was able to just, you know, react like that, to get hit in the, to get hit with the helmet, like 10 times, you do that 10 times, there's no way you're walking away from that clean 10 straight times.
And how lucky that he didn't get struck in the temple.
In the temple.
That was so scary to watch.
With the contact from the helmet, it looked like it came from the bottom side where you actually put your helmet on. If he would have made direct contact with the crown of the helmet,
I mean, absolutely.
We're talking about a much more significant incident what we had last night.
Let's not sugarcoat this. He could have killed him.
He could have.
Okay,
yes.
Let's not sugarcoat it.
Sure.
He could have killed him. You hit somebody with the helmet with full force like that, a big strong guy like that taking a helmet and hit him on it, he could have killed him. Mason Rudolph's lucky he didn't get killed. Now, Myles Garrett can apologize all he wants, and he can feel remorse, and that's rightfully so. But he's going to be suspended for a long time in the National Football League. He's not playing this year. I don't know if he plays next year. I think Goodell messed this whole thing up because I think he's a clown. I think he's a joke, not really knowing what he's going to do. I don't like indefinite suspensions. Come up with something. Tell me what it is. But again, to my point, Mason Rudolph should have been suspended. Pouncey should not have been suspended 3 games. The other guy, that's okay that he was suspended, the lineman, that makes sense.
That was a cheap shot.
And I think that if Roger Goodell knew what he was doing, he would have a clear and conscious suspension for Myles Garrett. And like we had said earlier on the show, If you go back to David Stern with the malice at the palace, what did he do within 48 hours?
He suspended him with definite games.
Definite games. And what else did he do?
He held a press conference, at one of his NBA games. That's something Roger Goodell could do. He could hold a press conference at one of the games on Sunday and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. These are the definitive penalties. I don't have a problem with it being an indefinite suspension because I actually think it's going to turn out to be a harsher penalty for Myles Garrett than if the NFL actually came out and said, yeah, he's suspended for the rest of this season in the playoffs. Okay, that's six games. This, with the possibility or with them opening it up indefinitely, they could come back in the summer and say, yeah, now you're done for 2020. And it could be a much harsher penalty. So I don't have a problem with that. I just, my biggest issue with the whole thing that transpired last night is Mason Rudolph needs to have a little bit more accountability for what transpired than just trying to blame the victim and have his agent out there saying that we're pressing charges and all this stuff. You created the problem.
I would have suspended Mason Rudolph. Yeah. I would have suspended Mason Rudolph.
At least one game.
Yeah. At least one game.
I think.
You know what? You're not completely innocent in this.
Totally.
Yeah, you're the guy that got hit in the head, but you tried to rip his helmet off and you kicked him in the groin.
Yeah.
You did. You should be suspended. The Phoenix Suns got a big win last night, but a lot of people are asking about Ty Jerome. I'll give you the latest update on when he could return, and we'll talk about Oubre's performance next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I tweeted this out earlier today because I get so many people asking me, what's going to happen with that? What's the news on the DeAndre Ayton suspension? I'm expecting all 25 games.
He's suspended. That's the update.
I mean, that's every day I get asked 5,000 times. I'm expecting he's suspended for all 25 games, okay? I've spoken with people. Nobody's expecting it to be reduced.
At this point, we're just about a month away from it being over.
I'm expecting all 25 games based on what I'm hearing. Now, I have no definitive answers, but I'm expecting that it's all 25 games. Ty Jerome, people keep asking me, he's not close. Guys, he's not close. Not close to coming back. He's still weeks away from being able to return. It was bad. It was a bad ankle sprain. It was really bad. So he's not close to coming back. Everybody, is he coming back this week? No, he's not coming back this week. Is he coming back next week? No, he's not coming back next week. He's weeks away from being able to return. So that's your updates. I'm expecting all 25 games for DeAndre, although nothing's been named and nothing's been official, but I would just expect all 25 games. I mean, how many games are we in already?
10.
They played 10. There's no word. Expect all 25. And Ty Jerome, I'm expecting that he is not going to be back for a few weeks.
That's a disappointment because I really have been what he did in the summer and what he was doing in training camp. It was really becoming an intriguing part of that Suns roster, what he could bring.
Yeah. So now listen, you know, all through the weekend and stuff, when things happen, I'll tell people this every, you know, few months. I'll mention this. I put a lot of news and information on Twitter. You could follow me at Gambo987. So it does have a lot of information on what's going on with the teams, information that I get. So over the weekend, if I find out something, it's going to be up there. So that's Gambo987. And if you want to follow me personally on Instagram, it's just John Gambo. And then I have photos of, you know, family and everything. And so that's just John Gambo on Instagram.
Jordan, what are your social channels now, since that's what we're doing?
Jordan L. Bird on Twitter. Nothing else other than that.
So Gambo987 on Twitter and John Gambo on Instagram. Let's talk about that game last night, because that was one of those games that you look at, you're a little bit worried. Trae Young had a really great game. They beat the Denver Nuggets. You got to take them seriously. And I think that's what you get with Monty Williams. You don't overlook any opponent. You went out there and you did what you had to do. You beat a team that you were supposed to beat. Atlanta's not a good team, but they're a dangerous team because they have a great player in Trae Young. And anytime you have a great player like that can go off, you got to worry about it. They did a fantastic job defending him. Kelly Oubre had a monster game, and everybody else chipped in too. Kaminsky was good. Rubio was good. Dario Saric had a great game. Devin Booker was good. There was a lot of contributions in that game last night, and they took care of business and they got the win. So they improved to 7-4 on the season. They got the Boston Celtics coming to town with Kemba Walker on Monday. That'll be a big game. But I thought it was really good that Kelly Oubre, after a tough game against the Lakers, bounced back in a big way.
To me, what is so important, or what is so special about what has already happened in 11 games, is there now is expectations. Not for what's going to happen at the end of this season or what their record is going to be when it's all said and done. I expected the Suns to win that game last night. I expected, even in the first half, where at times Atlanta was leading that game, that the Suns were going to be able to go on a run, come back, and take care of this game. Through 11 games, we're already at that point where last year we're talking about a team that had a point differential of double digits and was the worst team in the league and everything else that goes along with it, to now just 11 games into this season. For me personally, there are now expectations on a game-by-game basis. I wasn't expecting them to beat the Lakers, but I was expecting them to make a game of it, and they did.
I expected them
to beat the Hawks, and they were able to do that even when they were faced with a little adversity.
Listen, it's important to win games after a loss. You don't want to have long losing streaks. I asked you before, the Suns are 7-4. Do you think at any point this year they'll be under 500? Not at 500, but under. They got a four game. They have to lose four in a row right now to get under 500. You didn't think they would be.
It's tough to say that right now.
It is. It's hard to say. You don't know, but it's an interesting question, because if they could play 500 or above, they're going to somehow be in a playoff race if they could stay around 500 for the first few months of the season.
Well, and then also
or above.
Beyond the Boston game on Monday, which right now the Celtics are the best team in the Eastern Conference, the hottest team in the NBA, lost their first game of the regular season and have now won their next nine straight. Beyond Boston, you have a road game against Sacramento, and then you have a home game against New Orleans, back out on the road against Minnesota. Those three are very winnable games. So once again, if to your point about will they slip under 500, I don't know. I don't think we are going to see that unless there's a significant injury, because this team right now responds well when their back is against the wall or when they have a little bit of adversity.
Ayton's not a significant injury, but people would have thought that was a significant loss.
You remember that Twitter poll we did? What was going to be their record during the 25-game stretch? If I'm not mistaken, I believe people were overwhelmingly putting them in the 4-6 win category out of the 25 games that he was going to be out.
So he's been out 10 games, and they've won 6 of them?
They're 6-4 without him. Yep.
6 wins without DeAndre Ayton. Now, there are games that you could use him, but not that DeAndre Ayton is out of sight, out of mind, but man, the fact that Baynes has played so well has really made people not even think about DeAndre. Nobody's even thinking, because Baynes has played, now he's also 32. When DeAndre comes back, it'll be good to limit his minutes, give him some breaks, some days off. He is 32 years old, but he's never been a high-volume player. I mean, when he was in San Antonio, when he was in Detroit, when he was in Boston, he was not a high-volume 35-40-minute-a-game guy. So it's not like he...
And with a three-point jumper.
Well, he added that three-point jumper in the playoffs last year is when he really added it. But he's a physical guy. And the minutes he plays hard. He's an intimidating physical player.
I found the poll that you referenced, Jordan, from October 25th. Now that DeAndre Ayton has been suspended for the next 25 games, how many games will the Suns win without him? 51% said 5-9.
And they're already at 6.
Yeah. So they've already bypassed that.
They have to get 3 wins in the next 15, basically, to make that come a reality.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just shows you how far along they are and how far they've exceeded people's expectations, even without DeAndre Ayton out.
I don't think we'll even think about it until after it's over. You'll say, oh, DeAndre was out 25 games, then went 15-10.
Right.
It's not something that we look at on a day-by-day basis.
Disney's Frozen 2 hits theaters on November 22nd.
And we're giving
you the chance to see it before anyone else. This is your chance.
I'm going. I got a 10-year-old daughter. I'm going.
You're going for yourself. Come on.
I liked it. I swear to God, I liked it. I thought it was great.
Just text
the music.
Dad to 62620 and sign up to receive the monthly Big League Dad newsletter for your chance to win a family 4-pack to see the advanced screening of Frozen 2. That's text Dad to 62620.
I'm going
to
text her right now.
Got through it, finally. Sorry, Jordan.
No.
Cut you off a few times.
You know, this is like a Dave Burns fantasy camp. This is what it's like to be like Dave Burns.
Wow. No, a Dave Burns fantasy camp is you're off for the day.
Exactly. You're not here.
Touche.
Oh, you're on a private jet, my man.
It's a Dave Burns fantasy camp. Man. You're off. We don't do anything. Go to the movies, whatever you got to do. Ricky Rubio's impact broken down in several ways. We'll explain next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
And now it's time to give someone an opportunity to spin the
wheel of fortune.
Take it away, Burns and Gambo.
All right, let's see if we can do a better job today. Because
we 0 for our last two?
Yeah, I think we've only had one person so far this week.
Wow.
So let's
end on a high note.
Our qualifying winner today is Mark Hoskin of Scottsdale. Mark Hoskin.
Mark Hoskin of Scottsdale.
Mark now has 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870 to
win. You can do it!
An Amazon Echo. He's already won that. And more importantly, he is now qualified, or if he does call in, he'll be qualified to spin the Wheel of Sports trips. He'll have a whopping 44% chance to win one of 12 amazing getaways, including Cardinals in Seattle in December, Suns in L.A. on New Year's Day, ASU basketball in Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament, or the Diamondbacks in Chicago at Wrigley Field in the springtime. If Mark doesn't call within the next 10 minutes, we'll open up the phone lines to qualify someone else and give them a chance to spin the Wheel of Sports trips next Friday. Once again, Mark Hoskin from Scottsdale. You have 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870. That's 602-260-9870.
Well, lucky qualifier, your 10-minute countdown has begun. Be careful dialing, and thanks for playing the
Wheel of Fortress.
So as we wait for Mark to call in, let's get a Twitter poll update from Sarah Cazell.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
We got a couple of ones.
We do
now,
have a couple
we?
Of
yes,
couple
we do.
Of polls. Sanderson Ford on 51st Avenue in Glendale. Go see him if you need a new car, truck, or SUV. To Al McCoy buys from and Gonzo and myself, Sanderson Ford. All right, what are the poll questions today?
All right, we'll start with the first one that we had at 2:30. The Suns are 7-4 through 11 games this season. I think exceeding everyone's expectations so far. So who has been your MVP for the Suns through 11 games? Four options for you. Ricky Rubio, Aaron Baines, Devin Booker, and then the head coach, Monty Williams.
I went with Aaron Baines.
I'm going with Monty Williams.
I'm going with Baines.
I just feel like the trickle down comes. And I know it's a little bit of cheating. He's not a player. He's the man in charge.
It's the easy thing to say is Monty.
It is. I also think it's the right one.
I know. Yeah. I'm just going with the player here.
Yeah, there's value there. Well, 37% of the votes do not go to Baines or Williams. They are going to Devin Booker. He has the majority of our fan votes today. 30% say Monty Williams is the team MVP. 19% for Aaron Baines with you, Gambo. And then 15% for Ricky Rubio.
Okay. And what is our other poll question?
Second poll question.
Yeah, that you made up all on your own.
No, I did not make it up.
The wrath of Dave Burns.
Yeah, you're blaming me. But meanwhile, we all know that this was your poll.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You wanted it to be a poll. Here it is. Hi, Dave Burns. I'm sorry. We miss you. How many vacation days has Burnsy taken so far in 2019? And I slid the scale that you suggested, Gambo. You wanted me to start at 20 to 30, I think it was.
Yes.
I went 10 to 20 because we know he's taken at least 10 days. We can all agree on that. I also have taken at least 10 days.
He's taken 10 days in the last month.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but Sarah, also, when you take off, you're working one of your other 12 jobs out there, correct?
Yeah, Burnsy's going
true,
to the movies.
But I went to Denver with family.
You should just play along with what I'm trying to help you out.
Hey, I don't want Burnsy to hate me. Okay, so 10 to 20 vacation days, 21 to 30, 31 to 40, or 41 to 50 for 2019? What do you guys think?
I think it's somewhere 20 to 30.
Okay.
30 to 40.
Okay. 37% of our votes say 41 to 50 vacation days.
Oh, my goodness.
29% say 21 to 30 days. 20% voted with you, Gambo, 31 to 40. And then only 14% took the smallest amount possible, 10 to 20 days.
I'm going 30 to 40 because that's somewhere between like 6 and 7 weeks of vacation time. Somewhere around there?
Yeah,
six,
I mean,
7 weeks?
Math, 20 yeah. shows yeah. a month, though. We're talking about him being off a full 2 months at 40 days.
Yeah, so 5 days a week times 6 weeks is 30. I think we're at least there.
I don't.
6 weeks vacation time.
I don't know.
We've also gotten quite a few responses to the poll that just say, who?
Oh.
It's like Cats in the Cradle. Oh. He's so far gone at work or off at play. His child doesn't even know what he looks like.
I used to sing that song to my kids all the time.
Such a depressing song.
I used to sing it to my kids to make me realize that I got like, I'm always going to be in your life. Cats in the Cradle, the Silver Spoon,
really
Little
sweet.
Boy Blue, and the Man in the Moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get
when
together then.
When you coming home, Dave Burns?
When you coming home, Burnsy?
Oh, boy.
All right, so that's our poll update. You could vote for it on the Burns and Gambo page on Twitter. Ricky Rubio, quietly, getting the job done, being a stud on this basketball team. And there was a, and I don't even call it a story, it was on The Ringer. And The Ringer sometimes does stories, but sometimes does videos. And they had a story about how Ricky Rubio has transformed the Phoenix Suns. I want to play you some of the cuts, and then me and Jordan will discuss some of the issues, because some of them, boy, they really stand out.
Through 10 games, Phoenix is creating the second most wide-open shots in the NBA.
They were 28th last season.
They're also leading the league in team assists, which is up from 20th last season. Phoenix is shooting out of the ball, and this is likely a big reason why. Scheme and philosophy will always play a part, but if you severely lack playmaking and creation the way the Suns have in the past few seasons,
it doesn't matter what you run. You're still going to have a hard time moving the ball.
Okay.
Kyle Mann from The Ringer.
Yeah, Kyle Mann from The Ringer did a nice little thing. Shooting the blank out of the ball, you could probably realize what that was. We had to buzz that one out. All right, play the other one, and we'll touch on these.
His playmaking allows Phoenix's individual offensive talents to thrive, and it motivates them to move without the ball. The placement, the patience to set up the passes with fakes, the angles, Rubio can put it where it needs to be. He can comfortably create with a live dribble and use his eyes to manipulate defenders.
And there's one more with about how the impact has transformed Devin Booker.
Yeah, although everyone is reaping the benefits, one of the biggest beneficiaries from Rubio's presence is Devin Booker, because it allows him to mix up his scoring looks. Through 10 games, Booker's unassisted field goals are down dramatically from last season, from 64% in 2018-19 to 44.1% in 2019-20.
That's huge. Like, hard to quantify it or explain it. His unassisted field goal percentage is down 20%, not 5%, 20%. That means that last year, a lot of the baskets Devin Booker had to get were on his own. He had to create his on his own. He had to go isolation one-on-one on his own. And a lot more baskets this year are coming, moving without the ball and having somebody set him up. Assisted baskets, he's cutting to the basket for a layup. He's getting open around a screen and getting a jump shot off of a pass from Rubio. That is a strikingly important number in how much Devin Booker has benefited from having a real point guard here. I'll even say this at this point, okay? Ricky Rubio has exceeded the expectations. He has been better than we even thought he could be. And there was a bunch of point guards. We mentioned TJ McConnell, and we mentioned Darren Collison and Corey Joseph. I had a list of four point guards that the Suns were interested in, and Rubio was one of them, and he's the guy they signed. And he has been by far the best out of the four that they could have signed. And I'll take it a step further and say he's been even better than any of us probably thought he would be.
I think that's a fair way of putting it, because the Suns' point guard play has been so terrible over the last few years. All you were really looking for, or all my expectation was, I guess I should say, in Ricky Rubio, was just getting the Suns back to respectability. So with that stat about open shots, going from 28th last year in the NBA to, 16, 17, 18, some, middle of the pack. But to go from 28th to 2nd, not only is he transforming the Suns or transforming his style of play and what the Suns are able to do, but I don't know if the Suns, I can say definitively, the Suns are not 7-4 right now if it's not Ricky Rubio and it's one of those other point guards.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, he's been, and he does it quietly, right? Because he's not a big scorer. He's not going to go for 30 on any game. I mean, I don't know if he'll go for 30 at all this year. He'll knock down some shots, but he'll get his assists. And one of the things about Rubio is just the lack of turnovers. The guy just doesn't turn the ball over. And we can talk about Kyler Murray not turning the ball over. Man, how about Ricky Rubio not turning the ball over? He's just a lot of assists, low amount of turnovers, running the offense efficiently.
All right, let's get an update. See if our guy Mark called in.
Congratulations to our latest qualifier.
Mark Hoskins of Scottsdale, he has qualified. He's already won himself an Amazon Echo, and now he is entered in to win one of those 12 amazing sports getaway trips. Congratulations, Mark. Way to end it on a good note for the week.
Look at you like a good luck charm, Jordan. You come in, and we break the streak of a couple guys not calling in.
Dude, when I filled in for John Bloom this season on Suns postgame, the Philadelphia game, the Brooklyn game.
Two winners.
Two of their best games of the season.
So all you do is win, win, win no matter what.
No joke.
Yeah.
No joke, Gambo.
Man, that G League team, they're going to win the championship this year. Now
Okay. Well, let's not look at the first two games of the season.
Maybe that doesn't happen. David Johnson, how much does he play? How little does he play? Can he even make an impact? We'll talk about that next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You know what? It's wait and see. We just don't know. Is David Johnson going to break out of this slump? Is he going to contribute anything in the game against the 49ers? Is he going to get enough touches to do anything? Is he just going to be a backup player? I mean, how do they use David Johnson? Cliff Kingsbury said it's still running back by committee. Still, it's running back by committee, but I would imagine that you still want to play Kenyon Drake more. But there's got to be a part of the Cardinals that are trying to figure out how do we get something out of David Johnson in this game. He's been paying a lot of money. It's been a disappointment. He's on pace. Get this. On pace, rushing and receiving, combined totals, rushing and receiving, 1,000 yards total.
That's unbelievable.
Combined, rushing and receiving, he is on pace for an exact number of 1,000 yards.
Especially considering last year when he had, 900 rushing yards. I can't remember I'll have to look up the passing yards, but he was well over that mark last year in an offense that was so heavily criticized by its ineptitude and its uncreativity with Mike McCoy and Byron Leftwich, and they were just running him up the middle. It's unimaginable. It really is to have Cliff Kingsbury come in and to have Kyler Murray come in and for David Johnson to have a statistical regression. That's crazy to me.
It is. It is. But this is the world that we live in with David Johnson. He's not the same player. I mentioned it somebody mentioned me. Oh, it's like Tiger Woods. I said Mike Tyson. Other people have said it's like Tiger Woods. Once a guy has done something great, once a guy has done something special, you kind of know that he's capable of doing it, so you almost at some point expect that you could do it. You've proven that you could do it. You've proven what you're capable of. I mean, Mike Tyson with the knockouts, you were a guy that would go in and knock guys out. Michael Spinks in 91 seconds, and Tiger Woods was winning majors, and when guys have proved it at some level of greatness. David Johnson didn't have the consistency of a Mike Tyson or a Tiger Woods, but he had that one magical year where you're like, oh, okay. I mean, he was capable of it. I mean, Ian Kennedy won 20 games for the Diamondbacks 1 year, I believe. And, you're like, is he capable of doing it? Proved he, because almost like you proved that you could do that once. So, I mean, there are flukes. I do believe that there are flukes. But with David Johnson, there's always been that feeling like, okay, get back to being the way you used to be.
But let's just look at it from a practical angle here. 2016 is now 3 years ago. And he has accrued some injuries along that way from 2016 to the point that we have now. So, logically, historically, does a running back get better with age as he gets further away from his marquee season? No.
No.
So, to me, this is an uphill battle now that David Johnson is fighting.
But he's not past his prime. There's a prime, right? There's a prime for athletes. Some believe it's 27 to 32 or 27 to 34. There's a prime. For running backs, it's probably more like 25 to 29. I don't know that he's outside of that prime. Look, being a running back takes its toll, but he's missed a lot of games, right? He had the wrist injury, he missed a lot of games. But there is a prime factor where athletes are, you're in your prime for this certain amount of time. I don't think David Johnson's out of that prime yet.
He'll be 28 in December.
But I don't think he's out of his prime. I mean, he hasn't had a lot of wear and tear.
He still fits within that age range. And to your point, he hasn't had a ton of carries, a lot of punishment at the running back position. But to me, your prime is not predetermined by your age, it's determined by your production. And if the last bit of production or your greatest production level was 3 years ago, then your prime was 3 years ago. That's the way I look at it. I don't look at it in the context of what can he do. It's what are you doing and is that still sustainable?
I've never seen a guy that your prime is 1 year. Like, I just never seen that. Like, okay, it just doesn't.
Well, we just don't think of guys. We just don't call it their prime year. We just said that guy was a one-year fluke. And right now, with the sample size that we're being given, David Johnson's early years are his best years. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
I can't imagine he is now, after the injuries and the time, going to revert back to the player that he was.
It's not like there was a devastating knee injury with reconstructive surgery, a torn ACL. It was a wrist injury.
True, but I think, and this is me just purely speculating, I think those injuries have changed him mentally, has made him less aggressive, has made him less physical of a runner.
Well, there are some people that think it's that. There's some people think that it's, you know, his wife doesn't want him to get hurt. There's some people think he doesn't want to get hurt.
It's probably a combination of a lot of those things.
We don't know. I mean, we just don't know. It's just like you're waiting for David Johnson to show you what he's capable of doing, that it could be a great player. There's more doubts right now about David Johnson than there is anything else. It's just doubts. Doubts that, I mean, there are people like, probably like, I don't even care if he plays. Play Kenyon Drake. And when Chase Edmonds comes back, play Chase.
And I guess that's the other big question now. If David Johnson still has gas left in the tank, what does he have to do the rest of this season, the rest of his career, to win that trust back over with the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, it's not one game. It's got to be a consistent. It's got to be consistent. It can't be like he had one good game, because then we're going to be like, okay, was that a fluke? I mean, or he's got to do it consistently. He's got to go out there and be a dominant running back. Right now we see these runs, and it's obvious when you see the runs. I mean, he's not running hard. He's not running fast. He's running sideways. He's not going straight. There's no speed involved. It's almost like lollygagging around, and then he's getting tackled in the backfield for a 3-yard loss or a 4-yard loss or for no gain. And it's just, I mean, hit the hole. Let's go. Play quicker. Play faster.
To that point, today, David Johnson actually did speak with the media, which I was a little bit surprised considering the criticism that he has been faced. He met with the reporters. They asked him about his struggles, and he thinks it's him trying to do too much.
I think just, you know, trying to do too much, trying to make too many reads instead of running.
They even asked him, have you been dealing with injuries? Has that been a reason why your play has suffered a bit?
Yeah, just a bad game. Just a bad game, you know. Not everyone's perfect. And the biggest thing is what you do after a bad game.
Yeah. So what are you going to do this week?
Doing too much. What was the one he played? Too much reading?
I think just, you know, trying to do too much, trying to make too many reads instead of running.
Trying to make too many reads instead of running.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, because he's running sideways looking for a read, looking for an opening, instead of running, you got to hit those holes quick.
But if it's something as simple,
they're not going to be open for long.
But if it's something as simple as that, couldn't that have been nipped in the bud weeks ago? Hey, look at the film. Look at the tape. You're not hitting the holes hard enough. You're not making the right read.
Not if you're playing scared. Not if you're afraid to get hit. Not if you're afraid of being injured. No, then no.
So it may not. It may be a part of the problem that he is thinking too much. But why is he thinking too much? Not wanting to get hurt. Not wanting to do this. I'm just saying, I think there's a lot of reasons that go into what has happened to David Johnson. I think we're honestly at the point, though, where it's unrealistic to expect him to regain his form from 3 years ago.
I liked what Vince Murata said earlier today on the Bickley and Murata show. It's like, look, it'll figure itself out. We'll know soon enough. I mean, either he's going to be able to do it or he's not. Like, we're going to know. There's 6 games left. Like this, like, we're going to know, can he perform at a high level again or not? And if he goes through the rest of the season and he can't perform at a high level, then you go into next season and he can't be a guy you count on. He could be on this roster, but he can't be a guy that you count on.
Before we break, that was one thing that was raised to Steve Keim this morning on the Doug and Wolf show. Has Steve Keim thought about the implications financially for the Arizona Cardinals if they decided to try to move on from David Johnson?
No, I mean, the one thing we try to do is put all our efforts into supporting the player. You know, what can we do to help him become more successful, whether it's schematically, whether it's in the weight room or off the field with his nutrition, any little thing that we can look into that can give him an advantage to try to improve upon. So I think that's really kind of where we are is, whether it's myself, Michael Bidwell, Coach Kingsbury, sitting down and talking about what type of resources the player may need to improve their consistency. And there's a lot of different areas that guys need different things. So we'll continue to try to improve in all areas. And again, looking forward to seeing David put his best foot forward this weekend.
All right, that's Steve Keim on David Johnson. All right, if he keeps playing the way he is, you're going to see a lot of Suns players wanting Vegemite sandwiches. We'll talk about that next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.